Welcome to the Perfectly Preserved podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Gomes.
And I'm Anna Cash.
Here, we come together to bring you a podcast all about preserving food safely, easily, and dare I say perfectly at home.
We are master food preservers, moms, wives, and we love talking about canning. We've decided the world needs a podcast that shares up-to-date, modern, safe information about canning, dehydrating, freezing, freeze-drying, and more.
We answer listener questions, teach beginner and intermediate techniques, and share our very best tips for preserving successfully.
We'll show you how to find trusted recipes, sources, and more so you never have to second-guess your preserving practices again.
Ready to can like a master preserver? Let's get into today's episode.
Welcome back to the Perfectly Preserved podcast. I'm Jenny, and I'm here in person with my co-host, Anna. I'm in Ogden, Utah to celebrate the launch of my new cookbook, the Pressure Canning Cookbook. We have a live class happening tonight, which is so fun. And before class, we decided to record an episode since we never get to be in the same place. We don't live in the same town. And we are going to talk about something that's not canning related. We are going to talk about cold smoking as a method of preservation, specifically cold smoking bacon and just the world of smoking meats and preserving meats in that way altogether. And that is something that Anna has learned a lot about recently. So I'm going to be sharing my questions and Anna's going to be sharing the answers.
Yeah. So last month I took a bacon making class. My friend Tom Wheatley from Utah Meat Collective put up this class. He has really small classes. And so I jumped on it and decided to do this bacon making class with Bucky. And it's a different type of bacon. Cold smoking bacon is different than what you get at most grocery stores. Most grocery stores want their bacon to be hydrated so that it weighs more. It's less about like the natural flavor of the pork and maybe the saltiness. It's more about infusing other flavors to kind of mask a worse product.
Right.
Does that sound like American?
A subpar product.
Yeah.
I believe it.
So cold smoking bacon uses a process where it takes about 21 days to cure the meat. So the first 10 days is like the meat being coated by salt, sugar, and sodium chloride, which is nitrate. And a lot of people are like, ooh, nitrates. But like when you're curing meat, it's one of the oldest ways of curing and honestly not that. Some marketing gets a bad rap, right? But nitrates aren't that. I mean, I'm sure not all
nitrates are created equal either. Right. And the quantity and quality in which you're consuming them, I'm sure matters a lot too.
Right. So the first 10 days, all of the salt and sugar gets absorbed into the bacon and it dries it out. Then you do an additional 10 days in the fridge or in a cold storage room area where it's hanging, or just like I had mine on a cookie sheet over a tray and dried it out for another 10 days. Then the last day you do between at least 8 hours, but I did 12 hours of a cold smoke. So you just light pellets underneath the bacon on a rack inside a smoker or inside your barbecue. There's no heat involved. You want it to be like less than 180 degrees Fahrenheit, something like that. So it's not a hot smoke. It's a cold smoke. And it just imparts all of that smoky flavor into your bacon. And it's so delicious. It is a longer process. And I think that maybe puts people off from doing it themselves with a pork belly. But if you raise animals, if you have pigs, or if you're interested in doing your own bacon, it was so good.
So many things to say about this.
Okay.
So the idea with the salt and the sugar, or the salt in particular, is that it is drying, you said dry it out. And what's happening is all that moisture is being pulled out by the salt. And you want the moisture out because the moisture is what will feed bacterial growth.
Exactly. Right?
So you're trying to create an environment inside the meat that is not hospitable to spoilers. So the salt is in the long ago, that is how that became a very useful tool, is you're drying the moisture out with salt
and then no spoilers can grow, or far fewer, and they would grow a lot more slowly if they were present, right?
Right. So that is curing it. That's when you hear about, like, or you read on packages, yeah, it's the cured meats, right?
Yep.
And that's the same for, like, for all the cured meats. You're curing them by pulling that moisture out with the salt, right?
Yeah.
And then you said, so you cure it for 10 days, right?
10 days, and you have it inside, like, you vacuum pack it in a sealed environment so that it imparts that salt and sugar and nitrates into the meat. It creates this osmosis.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's pulling the liquid out, but pulling in that salt to cure it and preserve it also, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you hang, and you didn't hang yours. Did you put it in the refrigerator?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Was it wrapped like in a linen cloth or something?
No.
It was just hanging out.
It's like airborne.
Just dry.
Just dry.
Dry as a bone. With that Arctic wind blowing over it. So the hanging, I always like to mention this. I think a lot of people who don't raise their own meat forget this. It is very common for meat to be hung after it is butchered. And many times it's hung for a very, very long time. And the longer it hangs, typically the better quality of meat. You don't normally eat something that was killed that morning in terms of meat, that, like, red meat and pork. You don't eat it like today. You might eat, like, actually you probably would eat the organ meats fresh that night or that day, but you wouldn't eat the steaks that day. You would hang them. So, for example, my husband's a hunter, and his bucks get hung weeks,
like,
and weeks.
2 weeks probably, or longer.
Three or longer.
Oh.
Longer. The longer, the better, usually. And when it's being hung, tell me if this is true of the bacon, it gets kind of a rind on it, like a firm outside. Is the exterior kind of firm?
No.
That's fine.
I think just the 10 days, and it didn't quite create that, but it was so dry. I was like, there's no way this is going to cook and be delicious and
under
the fat, but it totally was.
Really? Okay. So that's so interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is not about venison. This is about smoking meats. But so the hanging is very normal, and that is, like, standard among most things that you would eat. Any Harris Ranch steak or anything you buy at the grocery store that's been hung for a certain number of days, and kind of a lot of days, more days than you would think. So 10 days it's hanging or just sitting in the refrigerator on a platter.
Right. Yeah. It's air drying. And then and it can go, like you said, longer than 10 days if you want. My friend was like, you can do it, you know, a couple days, a week later, you know.
Totally. That, I think, normal. Is what is really appealing about this type of preservation, because it isn't down to the second, down to the minute.
Right.
Right. It can be like, today or tomorrow, I'm going to move on to the next step with my, or even, you know, the third day. And you can experiment with how long you cure it, and experiment with how long you dry it, and how long, like, you could experiment with those times too, depending on your altitude and your humidity and the time of year, and all those things will have I'm sure have an effect.
Yeah. And Tom said even, ideally, bacon making season and curing it is in the winter and in these early spring months. Once it gets over 80 degrees Fahrenheit, you don't want to be smoking or, you know, doing this cold smoke. You would do a hot smoke versus a cold smoke.
That's so interesting. And that is, that really fits in well with what I'm sure works well with many farmers, you know, throughout history, right? You butcher in the fall. That's when you have your fall harvest, or in the late fall. That actually really makes a lot of sense. So then the final step is the cold smoke. So the cold smoke is, I wanted to touch on that. It's not, you're smoking it and imparting smoke into the meat for the flavor, but it's not the heat of the fire that's doing anything.
Right.
That's why it's called a cold smoke, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. And I bought this smoker. I know you're surprised, but I bought it at a thrift store. And I was like, I hadn't cleaned it or looked at it or anything. And I went to go take it apart and see what. And there was actually a plug where you could heat up and start your wood chips on fire, and then it would heat it that way. And Tom was like, no, turn that off. All you want is, like, this cylindrical tube and pack it with your pellets. Start it on fire with, like, a blowtorch, and then only have the smoke in there. You don't want any heat at all. You just want the smoke.
Wood pellets were smoldering, I guess,
Yeah, that whole time. And maybe like warmish, but certainly not hot.
No, but I think there was too much smolder going on because the outside of the bacon, instead of being like this uniform, like, you know, pinkish color mm-hmm. of bacon that it normally is, part of it was kind of like it looked charred a little bit. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Sure.
So the flavor wasn't bad, but I could definitely tell like I had gone a little too hot. Like I.
Sure.
It's my first time. So.
Totally.
I'm not mad about it, but it was just. I'm a little mad about it.
It was just a little bit hot.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Okay. And you did this. Tell me about the cut of meat that you did this with.
Yeah. It's done with a pork belly.
Okay.
And when you butcher a pig, there are two pork bellies on either side that you can make bacon with. And it's usually, I mean, depending on where you're at in the country or the world, it's, I want to say around $7 a pound.
And how many pounds was a belly? Three?
Four. Yeah. I don't know. Actually, I shouldn't. I'm not sure. I know that we got two. It was probably one full pork belly at the time, but it was probably 6 pounds.
That
something
right.
like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I think it's totally worth it just because the flavor is really good. And I always love learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
And in case I ever need to know how to do something, I like being able to.
Totally.
Know instead of like, oh, I wish I had pork. I could be like, okay, I know a rancher I could get a pig from.
Right.
And belly.
You said it was delicious.
It was great. And it's so different than the pork or the bacon that you get at the store. It's just different.
How so?
Well, for one, you can slice it however thick you want, mm-hmm. which for me is great because some of the bacon that you get at the store is like paper thin.
Right. Right.
And you cook it and it cooks to oblivion and you're like,
it's a crisp of dry nothing. Yeah.
And really you can alter the amounts of salt a little bit mm-hmm. With bacon. So if like I think that the bacon that we did was just a little bit too salty, so I might dial it back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you can't do with store-bought bacon.
Right.
Just like in any type of cooking, you can.
Right.
And now a quick word about our courses. Want to learn more about canning? Check out our video courses. Anna's beginner and advanced canning courses are available at smarthomecanning.com. And Jenny teaches a variety of courses, including the super fast steam canning course at startcanning.com. Use code POD25 to get 25% off those courses today. That's code POD25 to get 25% off today.
Since you mentioned the salt, tell us about your salt that you smoke.
Oh, yeah. So I saw like chefs and influencers talking about smoked salt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a second. I'm smoking this bacon. Why can't I cold smoke salt? And I looked it up and it's so easy. I just had a pie dish and I sprinkled a bunch of kosher salt in and I put it on the upper rack of the smoker and smoked it for... I think the minimum amount it said you could do was like a half an hour, but I did mine for about an hour and a half.
So let me tell you, she brought the jar over for me to smell, and it is such a delicious, it's almost like a bacon smoke.
I know.
I mean, that is so good. That is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm trying to figure out what's the best application for it, but it just smells
good. I don't know. I have done zero of this, but I purchased Redmond real salt, smoked salt to go with my Father's Day gift for my husband. And that stuff is so good on like roasted yellow potatoes.
Ooh, yum.
So good. It's, you don't need very much. The smoky flavor goes a long way, but it is bomb. It's so delicious. Just so good. In your class, did you talk about like where did early bacon preservers get sodium? Like what did they use? Did they use salt?
Yeah, they used salt. They used sugar. Nitrates came a little bit after.
Right.
But.
And where can you buy sodium chloride today?
You can just get it on Amazon he recommended Amazon for it. You don't need very much. I mean, I want to say for the the pork belly portion that I had that was, I want to say 3 or 4 pounds. I think it was only maybe, I should go get the recipe, but I want to say it was maybe a tablespoon.
Wow.
And that's it.
So very little.
So little, but yeah.
Okay. Very helpful. So in our So Easy to Preserve book, which is a very, very comprehensive document that you can purchase, it's put out by the University of Georgia Cooperative Extension. They have a section about jerky. And I just thought it was useful to refer back to it to remind our listeners that jerky can be made from almost any lean meat, including beef, pork, venison, or smoked turkey breast. However, raw poultry is generally not recommended for use in making jerky because of the texture and flavor of the finished product, which made me think of all the turkey jerky you see or like grocery. I don't know, but I wonder what ingredient they're adding to give that a better texture.
I don't know.
Right?
I've never tried it.
So raw meat, of course, can have microorganisms that cause disease, and it's easy for those microorganisms to multiply if the environment is moist, right? So that takes us back again to how important it is to thoroughly salt and cure and draw out that moisture when you're making jerky and or any smoked preserved meat like that. So if you are making jerky out of wild game or pork, it's important to remember that those types of meats have a trichinella parasite, which if you eat it, it can cause trichinosis, which is really not fun, I've been told. And to treat the meat, you can freeze it that is less than 6 inches thick at 0 degrees for a month, and that will kill the parasites. So that is just really important to remember when you're doing jerky. We love, I think we mentioned this in another episode, we love like soft jerky, and really, really, really dry jerky is just harder to chew. But if you are ending up with a softer product, I would consider refrigerating it, because if it's not bone dry, then there's moisture in there.
Yeah.
Right. You just don't want to risk. I wouldn't want to risk that personally, just having that bacteria.
The spoilers in there. Yeah.
Yeah. The spoilers. You just don't really want to do that. And then I think that is, if you are interested in a recipe for jerky, So Easy to Preserve has a great recipe for jerky marinade, which includes soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce, black pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, and hickory smoke flavored salt.
Yes.
Which Anna had because she made it herself.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about a smoker? If people are like, ooh, I want to try this. What resources could they have or check out?
So there are a lot of ways that you can smoke meat, a cold smoke, and it doesn't have to be pricey. In fact, there are lots of bars and restaurants that will have, it's almost like I think they call it a smoke gun.
Mm.
And they load it with pellets, they light it on fire, and then it goes through a tube into a cloche. And it goes over your drink. And they might put it either in a bubble and it pops could get bougie with it. But the one that I recommend is just having like some sort of container. You can even do it in your oven without the oven on, as long as it's a closed container with a little bit of
ventilation,
but using one of those tubes. And I keep talking about these tubes, but basically they're like a metal tube with holes in it, and you start the pellets on fire and then blow it out. And then that smoke that's in there, you just close it up and it will continue to smolder and smoke for 8 to 10 hours.
Holy
12 moly. Hours. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be doing smoked salmon this summer and then also some more smoked salts. I want to do some smoked salts with herbs that I've grown in my garden, because I think that would be really bougie.
It'd be such a great, like that's what I want to get for Christmas. You know, I don't need a candle. I want something that's delicious that I could consume that is special and different than what I can buy in the store.
Yeah.
That's an amazing idea.
Agreed.
You're going to smoke salmon. Where could you send people if they want to learn more about this?
Well, there's lots of information online, obviously, but I appreciated Tom Wheatley at the Utah Meat Collective. He's here in Spanish Fork, Utah. On Instagram, you can find him at UT Meat.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just a wealth of resources. you were talking about a really great resource as well.
A great canning book that I've loved, or preservation book that I've loved, is by Eugenia Bone, and her book is called Well Preserved. And she has a section about smoking meats. And it's been a while since I've looked at the book, and I don't have it with me since I'm in Utah. But I remember very clearly there's a section for curing meats where she's doing it. It's like in a city apartment where she's creating a little smoker with some tinfoil or a pie dish. I mean, it's just so great. But I would recommend her book for anybody interested in canning or any preservation anyway. But it also had a great section about smoking and cured meats.
Yeah. And you can also, as a side note, if you have a barbecue grill, mm-hmm. you can just put your tube with pellets in that. Anything that's going to like trap that smoke and let the smoke kind of reach out or escape somehow. But yeah, like I said, I found mine at a thrift store. But like if you already have a barbecue grill, just get one of those little tubes. I think it's called a smoking tube. It's so dumb. I don't know. Look it up. It's for people in the barbecue world.
Be careful with your Googling.
Okay, maybe not smoking
just
tube.
Kidding.
Barbecue tube.
It's probably smoking. I'm just joking.
I think the brand that Tom recommended was called Amazing Tube or Amazing Tube, something like that. I know. It's even worse. Like, careful what you Google.
No, I think that's great. I think that's awesome. I'm so inspired to try preserving meat in this way. Super excited. I've done jerky and I've done it a bunch of different ways and many, many times. But this whole bacon world, I mean, if bacon were a food group, it'd be my favorite. You know, it's really good. And to get it really, really good, that's awesome. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think this is great. I think encouraging people to do other types of preserving that aren't just, I mean, canning is great.
Right.
Dehydrating is great, but curing meats is also cool too.
Super cool. Super cool. And it's something that I feel like it has like a low entry. Like you don't have to, you know what I mean? You can just try it. And it's on such a slow pace that might feel really, really good. Like tomorrow sometime, we're going to do this part. Yeah. And then that's like, feels very chill.
Doable.
To me. Very chill. Not like in 14 minutes, we need to remember to. That gets kind of high pressure.
Yeah.
I love it.
It does. Yeah. So I just encourage you all to try it out.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for a great episode, Anna, and all sharing all your expertise.
That's our show. We don't want you to miss an episode, so please be sure to subscribe. If you found this episode helpful and informative, please give our show a rating and review. It only takes a few seconds and it really helps our show grow.
Follow us on social media at Smart Home Canning and at The Domestic Wildflower.
Email your preserving questions to perfectlypreservedpodcast@gmail.com and we will do our best to answer your questions on the show.
Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode released every week.